Good Thursday. Today is December the 18th, and you're listening to My Farm. We're going to continue our conversation today with Dale Arnold with the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation, discussing some of the new renewable energy developments taking place around the state. We're also going to take a look at a 2026 weather outlook. All that and more after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
I'm joined once again this morning by Dale Arnold with the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation, talking about all the diverse aspects of renewable energy and the challenges and opportunities it brings to farmers and rural landowners.
Now, as a nice feature or benefit of being a Farm Bureau member, they also have access to you and your knowledge and expertise and guidance. And from what I've heard you say, you've done a number of kitchen table meetings, and a lot of those virtually, not even having to sit at their kitchen table, but you're available in all sorts of ways.
Yes, that's correct. All you need to do is contact your county Farm Bureau and or send us a message at ofbf.org. I do that four or five times a week, and it's been amazing how our members and farmers as a whole have embraced this technology. I travel all over the state still, but I don't do a lot of wear and tear on the car anymore, and so it works extremely well.
That's nice. Well, if we can, maybe let's do an overview of the state of Ohio, just region by region, if you can give us an idea of some of the different things going on. So as we look sort of southeastern Ohio, what are some of the big projects that you've heard about or talked with folks about that have been approached?
Yeah, you're taking a look at a resurgence of oil and gas production, a lot of consolidation of leases that were signed 20 to 25 years ago. So you're taking a look at pipelines, you're taking a look at Marcellus and Utica Shale drilling development there still. You're hearing a lot about hydrogen production and also injection well and storage well for carbon dioxide. So that's going on there.
As we look more on the eastern side of the state or getting into northeast Ohio, any projects going on in that region?
Yeah, northeastern Ohio, you're seeing a lot of refits of current transmission infrastructure. Many of them that were installed in the 60s and 70s are going through their first major refits, new towers, new lines, expanding the size of right-of-ways. You're also seeing a lot with regard to energy storage capacity, with regard to natural gas and pipeline systems through the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission and through the major utilities there. So it's a kind of an interesting situation in northeastern Ohio.
It sounds like it. Well, we're in Columbus today at the Ohio Farm Bureau's annual meeting. What all projects do we see in the central Ohio region?
You're seeing a tremendous amount of industrial development. You'll be seeing natural gas used as a fuel and the expansion of those lines. You're going to be seeing huge upgrades to local distribution and transmission circuits. And we talk about power generation with the advent of HB 15. You're going to be seeing a lot of industries building their own power station, megawatt level, that is not going to be hooked into the transmission circuit, but it's going to be hooked in directly to an industrial facility. They're going to take a lot of room, a lot of space, and a lot of development for that.
Very interesting. Well, let's wrap up by looking at Western Ohio and the northwest corner of the state. What's going on in those regions?
Northwestern Ohio, you're seeing, again, a number of transmission line upgrades, a number of pipeline upgrades, a number of industrial parks and large industrial developments with a number of counties from Toledo down through Lima, down through the southwestern part of the state.
A lot of things going on, a lot of things to be aware of. And Dale, it's nice to know that you're sort of keeping a thumb on all that to know what's going on. But most importantly, the experience and the resources that Farm Bureau has through you that can help folks as they navigate these challenging situations.
Yeah, if people need any questions or whatever, what's going on, again, contact us at ofbf.org or contact your county Farm Bureau.
Thanks, Dale. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at crop.com. coverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions now. Take a look at weather, sort of a long-term forecast, as the National Weather Service recently issued its weather outlook for the 25-26 winter season. But what does this mean regarding temperatures and precipitation for different parts of the country? USDA's Rod Bain tells us more.
What does the outlook for winter weather across the U.S. look like? USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says the Climate Prediction Center's late November forecast for the winter months indicates
La Nina is expected to rule the roost when it comes to temperature and precipitation patterns for the winter of 2025-26.
In fact, recent weather developments resemble expectations for winter conditions.
Some of these cold air masses that are building in from western and northwestern North America, punching into the northern plains in the Midwest, are very consistent with what you would expect during a La Nina winter, and that is exactly what we have seen develop over the last couple of months.
Before providing a breakdown of forecasted temperatures and precipitation ranges by region this winter, Rippey also offers this caveat.
The individual storms can vary greatly from that overall pattern, and certainly any individual storm can kind of break free of that pattern.
First, the temperature outlook for the continental U.S. for December, January, and February, showing
expectations for below normal temperatures across much of the northern United States, stretching all the way from Washington State eastward through the northern plains as far south as Nebraska and into much of the Midwest as well.
Yet La Nina in the wintertime usually comes in the southern tier of the nation with
generally warmer than normal conditions, at least average. So we do expect above normal temperatures from California through the southwest and then from the Gulf Coast extending northeastward into the mid-Atlantic and southern Atlantic states.
What about precipitation potential? Rain or snow during the winter months?
La Nina winters often come with a double precipitation maximum across the northern United States. One area where we do expect to see above normal precipitation would be the northern Rockies and northern high plains. That, of course, would be in the form of snow, so you might expect to see some significant snow across parts of the northwest extending to the northern high plains. The second precipitation maximum would be across the lower Midwest, and so you look at the Ohio Valley and the eastern Corn Belt, that is another area expected to see unusually wet conditions during the winter. That could be either in the form of rain or snow, depending on each individual storm system.
Meanwhile,
with La Nina, we do expect drier than normal conditions to dominate, and that would include Southern California through the Southern Great Plains, then extending through the Gulf Coast region into the lower southeast, and extending as far north as the mid-Atlantic states.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.